Grace, mercy, and peace be to God, our Father, from our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we continue our look at Jesus' words, his red letter words. We receive the invitation that Jesus gives to us, but also we take the challenge that he lays before us. Today, those words come from our gospel reading where Jesus says to his disciples and he says to us, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." As those who seek to be followers of Jesus, we are asked to do some things. And we've looked at those five targets over the last few weeks. And today we come to that last target, where Jesus calls us as his followers to be people who are going. But like the disciples, we oftentimes find ourselves locked up, locked in our fears and our failures and our doubts, and we are unwilling to go. And so our life as a follower of Jesus becomes a little bit mundane, maybe even a little bit boring. Maybe you've heard that. People say that. Oh, why would I want to be a Christian? It's boring. But when we grab a hold of that invitation that Jesus gives us and take up that challenge to be sent as he was sent, boy, some incredible things can happen. There's a freedom as we saw in the disciples in our reading from the book of Acts. There's a healing that comes and surrounds us as we live as followers of Jesus. Let me tell you, it's anything but boring. And if we can be people who are displaying this for others to see in the way that we live our lives, as we go forth with this good news, I guarantee you people wouldn't say that church is boring. They would say it is something powerful and something amazing. And we have the opportunity to invite people into this way of life and living. Now, I have to tell you, it was an interesting place to visit, but I wouldn't want to stay there for long. We were there about an hour and a half, and I must say our stay there was long enough. It was our visit 12 years ago to Hoa Lo Prison in Hanoi, Vietnam. Some of you who were around in the 60s and 70s probably know it by its nickname. It was called the Hanoi Hilton. That's where all the American servicemen who were shot down during the Vietnam conflict were taken. It was the place where that famous airman and American hero John McCain was taken. And as a part of our visit, our trip to Vietnam, we were able to spend time, a lot of time, with the people of Vietnam. But we also had opportunity to see some of the more historical things of their country. And one of those was to go and to visit the Hanoi Hilton. It was not a great place to visit, I must tell you. As they showed us around, they gave us the opportunity to look into some of the cells where the prisoners were held. There was a little propaganda going on there, no doubt about it, because I remember John McCain's room was painted nice yellow color, and it had a flower there next to his bed. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, I just don't think that's the way it probably was. And then they showed us around to other areas of the prison. They showed us to the torture chambers, if you will. And then I remember walking into a larger room and coming face to face with a guillotine. You know, one of those instruments of death. As I found myself in this prison, I must say it was rather sobering. I mean, that people would treat one another like this, that people would be held in captivity unjustly, that people would be prisoners to so much fear and pain and death. Now, there can be no doubt that Jesus' disciples were sobered on that first Easter Eve. Things hadn't gone so well the last few days. Jesus, their Savior, was crucified, dead, and buried. And along with that, so was all hope. I mean, they had, if you remember, they had abandoned and betrayed and written Jesus off, these disciples of his. And now we know they were scared. They were alone, as the scripture tells us. They were locked up. And maybe some of you know that feeling. As fears take over, as failures become a reality in your life, as doubts are raised in your minds. Well, as Jesus came to his disciples on that first Easter Eve, so he comes to us. He comes in our fears and our failures and doubts, and he brings with him a message of peace and power. For you see, in Jesus, we have one who sets us free. One who does for us what we could never do for ourselves. For in his death and resurrection, you and I, we who were as good as dead in our fears and in our failures, have been made alive. And now you and I are empowered by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We are empowered now to live a new kind of life. Because you see, Jesus has done the unexpected. Ushering in a new kind of kingdom, ushering in a different kind of kingdom, ushering in for us God's kingdom. For it's through his death and resurrection that Jesus gives us what we so desperately need. He gives to this world what it so desperately needs as he empowers us, disciples like us, to do the unexpected. To be people who take up his challenge and go forth fearlessly, restored and refreshed and ready to live differently. As people who can actually do the unexpected. Because that's what Jesus calls us to do. We've looked at these words from Matthew over the last number of weeks. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock." If you want your house to stand up, Jesus says, "Practice what I'm telling you. Put my words into action. Don't just hear them, but live them out." And that's why we've been involved in this red letter challenge. That's why we want to be people who not only hear these words of Jesus, but put them into practice. Living them out in our day-to-day life. Now, here's the thing. It's not easy. I'm not going to tell you that it's an easy thing to do. But I'm going to tell you it's a possible thing to do because Jesus is with us. Because we are in relationship with him. We have been changed. We are now empowered. And we can actually go and make a difference in the world. Because this is the mission. This is the purpose. This is the calling that God has given to us, the followers of Jesus. That's what he calls us to do. To go and to make disciples. He didn't say anything about building churches and all that other kind of stuff we get so often caught up in. He said, go and make disciples by telling this story, this good news, and by living it out. Reflect me in the way you live your life. Love others as you have been loved. And as those who have experienced firsthand, up close, the love of Jesus, we're the ones who recognize that it's changed us. We're the ones who can recognize that it motivates us to live a different kind of life. Knowing that in this way of living, in this challenge to go and tell the good news, we can find real freedom as we are fearless to go. So I need to ask you, are you protected? If you use 123456 as your password, watch out. You're going to get hacked. It's the number one password that gets hacked on your computer or your phone. Don't think you're any smarter if you use the word password as your password. You wouldn't get very far either. We live in a culture today that longs for security and longs for safety. I mean, just think about how often that comes across our radars, doesn't it? And I mean, there's good reason. I mean, we live in a pretty chaotic world. What was it, Sri Lanka last week? And this week, yesterday, there was the synagogue out in California. I mean, you can't even worship anymore without having a little apprehension about who's going to come through the door. And so some of those fears are real. And we have to be smart about it. But sometimes those fears can just overrun us, can't they? And hold us captive so that we can't even move, we can't even think, we can't even live life. Now, in our gospel reading today, Jesus' first appearances to his disciples is when he comes to them, it says, you know, behind these locked, closed doors. Fear had overwhelmed them, hadn't it? I mean, they had been to the tomb and they'd seen it empty earlier that morning. I mean, they'd heard from Mary and the other Marys that Jesus had risen, and yet they were still shuddering, closed off. Locked down, hunkered down from a threatening world. When Jesus does the unexpected and is suddenly standing in their midst, reaching out with invitation to a people who are Roman numeral one, locked up in their fears and their doubts. And what's amazing to me is that Jesus meets the disciples where they're at. Jesus comes to us and he meets us where we're at, in our emptiness, in our doubts, in our guilt and our shame. He assures us that we're not alone as point number one, Jesus comes. And he comes in a pretty surprising kind of way. Because he doesn't come in anger. He doesn't come in judgment. He doesn't come pointing his fingers at those disciples saying, "I told you guys, you'd blow it." No. Instead, he simply opens himself up and he shows him his hands and his side. He shows them that the resurrection was real. And in doing so, he shows them that forgiveness is real. As he shows them that he is real. And so is this new life that he has promised to us, his people. A redeemed life, a restored life, a life that has meaning, a life that has purpose, as we seek to live like him. To be people who love and who forgive and who actually represent our Father as we are free to be the people of God. Not people who are judging others. Not people pointing out others' sins. But free free from judgment, free from sin, free from death, as we are sent out into the world. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says to these scared disciples, so I am sending you. But here's the thing, he doesn't send them and he doesn't send us alone. As Jesus, point number two, as he gives peace. Now, I can only begin to imagine the sense of relief that the disciples must have felt when Jesus said, peace be with you. A freedom like, wow, that nothing else really, really gives. And I don't know if the disciples quite got it the first time. And so he has to say it again, peace be with you. I don't think we always get it the first time or the second time or the third time or the 100th time. And yet Jesus comes and he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus then gives his Spirit as he comes giving of himself, as the scars reveal. Scars that show us again his great love for us. A love that would take him to the cross, where he would take our sin, where he would die our death. That our scars would be healed. For there's no doubt that our life is filled with them, and I'm not just talking on our knees and elbows, but here. Those scars in our hearts, they hold us back, don't they? As we are scared to go with this truth. But because Jesus has come to us with peace and his power, it is time for us to go with confidence, as we are Roman numeral 2, as we are set free. As we learn to live as the very people of God, just like the disciples did, just like Thomas did. Now, it doesn't take much to have your reputation destroyed. Over the years, we see that happen on a pretty regular basis. I mean, in the last few months, it's been Boeing Airlines. Their reputation has certainly plummeted. I'm not too quick to get on a 737 MAX 8 jet. And then just this past week, I mean, the report from the Boy Scouts of America. It's like, whoa. Wow. And then there is this one disciple whom the world simply knows as Doubting Thomas. I mean, poor guy's only remembered for this. You know, quite a reputation to have. And I guess you could say, if anybody has reason to be stuck and to be in a prison, it's certainly Thomas. But what I love about this is Jesus wouldn't let him stay there. He comes, doesn't he? Even to a guy like Thomas. And he gives peace. He gives him his presence, and he gives him the power. The power to believe and confess, my Lord and my God. And here's the thing. Jesus won't let us live in that prison either. As he has come to set us free, point number one, from our past. Our past failures, our past hurts, and we've got the failures and we've got the hurts. He comes to set us free from this past as we make our confession with our words and with our deeds, as we are people who live as actual witnesses of the resurrected Jesus. As we are those people who are now free, point number two, to live by faith. People who have not seen and yet have believed. People who are actually doing the unexpected in how we live our lives. As people who actually are willing to love and serve and forgive others. And this shows this way of living as we take it from this place and as we go. As free people, not living in fear, but by faith, with real peace in our hearts and real power in our soul. And let me tell you, it's not boring to live this way. And you and I are invited to live this way. As we live transparently, as we simply tell the story of how this resurrected Jesus has changed my life. As we live locally, I don't need to go to the ends of the world. I just need one or two people that God brings into my life that I can live life with and tell the story. As we live consistently, as we willingly take that first step and then the next. And when we step backwards, we take the next step forward. And live. Live in the freedom that Jesus has come to give. Because you see, He is the key. He is the key that will unlock everything as He brings His peace into our lives so that we can be people who are ready to go into the world with this good news. Not afraid, but empowered with His Spirit to do the unexpected as we are people who are just following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Why don't we stand?